It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Can the Utes make the Huskies sleepless in Seattle? Rivals has arrived. All right, welcome to another show of Rivals. A show of Rivals. Could I have a show of Rivals, please? He's Jason Buck. I'm Scott Mitchell. And Utah, who is 9th-ranked, 10th-ranked, depending on who you talk to, and we're going to talk about that in a bit, in the country, takes on the Washington Huskies, led by their great coach Chris Peterson. The Huskies are 5-3 on the year, had a bit of a stumble, and they haven't played completely great. A place they're normally really tough to play at home, and they've lost several games this year at home. Actually, take on this Utah team that, I mean, oh my goodness, I said this after Utah beat, or who'd they beat last week? They beat Cal. And I said, I'm not sure I've seen a game as close to perfect as I saw on Saturday. Now, a couple of people said, come on, the kicking game, they missed a field goal. And Coach Whittingham actually admitted he kind of screwed that up because he wanted the kicker to wait until the clock had run down. And they were all kind of set up and ready to go. And he says, I felt like I kind of threw off the timing of my kicker. And Coach Whittingham's usually not a guy to – you know, about excuses. So, you know, anyways, aside from that, I think midway through the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, the total yardage was 421 yards for the University of Utah and 42 yards for Cal. Cal did not cross the 50-yard line in the entire game. They did not score a point. It was an absolute just drubbing by Utah. So, Jason, first of all, what are your thoughts about the game? And then is this why is this defense playing so great?
Man, they're on a roll, and they are just – they look like they're getting better every week. I picked Bradley and I as the man
right
going into the year, right? And he's having that kind of a year. I wish I could have played on that style of a defense. Honestly, I never got to play in a 40 front in college and just go right and be turned loose. And he's tearing it up. The entire defense is. They're playing inspired. They're playing confident. They've got the players. They've got it all going right now. They've taken ownership of it, right? And it's their field, and they walk out there on it.
So
I don't see anybody stopping them.
Coach Whittingham said there's no weak spots in this defense. I mean, the defensive line, the linebackers, the back end safeties and corners, there's no weakness. So how much does it mean to you? Like you're a defensive lineman, and how much does it mean to you, or how much more free or confident can you play knowing that the guys behind you are going to give you a shot? They're not going to blow coverage. They're going to make their gap assignment sound. They're going to tackle guys. What does that mean to you when you just have confidence in your linebackers and secondary?
Well, that's it. It just gives you more and more confidence. You go in that huddle, you know, pregame locker room huddle. You look in the eyes of your teammates. You know that they've got your back. You got theirs. They're not going to miss their assignments. They're not going to let you down. And it just lets you turn loose even more. And you just feed on it, right? And, you know, defensive lineman, you know you've got to have great coverage to get sacks. You do. And it's vice versa. You know, you got to get great pressure on the quarterback in order for the DBs to make more interceptions than they would. I mean, you work into together, you need each other, and you feed off of each other. So they just got the perfect thing going right now. They're like you said, there's no weakness. You don't see a weakness in it. not on run defense, not on pass defense. I mean, there's just, you don't see a weakness in the linebackers, anybody they can just pick on. And the defensive line's, you know, so dominant right now. I mean, it all starts right there.
When you go to a tough opponent in a hostile environment, Washington may be, along with Utah, the toughest two places to play in the conference, just from a noise, from a rabid fan base. And it's a special place to go to Husky Stadium and play and win, because it's so hard.
It is. I played there my senior year. We had to go up.
Yeah.
To
how do you deal with that?
Well, personally, I fed off of it. I loved it. I loved it. I didn't look at it as an adversity, coming out and having the fans screaming at you and taunting you and stuff thrown at you. I loved it. I think it's great. Is it harder? It's harder on your offense, I think, to, you know, play on the road in a situation like that. But it wasn't for me. I mean, I think this is, you know, the biggest game for Utah to win. I mean, Washington is dangerous enough that they could really get up for this game like the USC did and USC. I mean, Utah is the big dogs to get knocked off right now. So Washington's going to bring their best game, no doubt. And this will be as adverse situation as Utah is going to play in this year. And they got to bring it. But I feed off of it. I think the great teams do feed off of it.
And you think that that's something that can be conveyed to players and the team, that you go, you know, we have to relish this moment. We turn what they think is an advantage to them actually as a disadvantage. In some ways, it's almost like they're trash talking. You know, like someone says a silly remark or a stupid remark during the week, you kind of go into the game knowing, all right, they're trash talking against us, and I'm just not going to stand for it. I'm not going to have it. And you just kind of feed on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You build it. You know, to the players, Kyle, you know, in preparation for this game, I think that's a great approach. Guys, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Just like when you and I going into Buffalo and you're playing at Miami. When I was in Cincinnati, going into Cleveland Municipal Stadium,
right,
and I had, you know, 90,000 people in the stands and just rocking. The dog bones getting thrown at you in the end zone and everything. I mean, my body was just tingling, right, with adrenaline, just the preparation of the game, feeding on it, loved it.
So Utah lost twice last year in some tough games to Washington. Should have beat him in Salt Lake and had just a heartbreaker in the championship game. Do you as a player look at that and go, we owe him one?
Absolutely.
Because all the players from Utah are like, different team, different players, you know, there's no revenge factor here. And yet, after the ASU game that Utah had a couple of weeks ago, they all said, we owed them one. And we wanted to seek our revenge. So, and then you have all these Utah players who said they came back for unfinished business. Well, the business that they had was Washington beat them twice. And so the business is to win the Pac-12 and go to the Rose Bowl and maybe beyond. But it's certainly that. And Washington's kind of the team standing in their way again. So can you use that, and do you think they will use that as motivation?
Absolutely. And when players say, you know, that's just talk, right, to say, no, this is a new team in a new year. Yeah. Believe me, the guys that, if they're underclassmen and not starting, whatever, at the time that we just lost to, you know, Washington the last couple times, they remember it.
Well, most of the guys are back.
And the coaching staff.
I mean, the whole defensive line's back. Most of the secondary's back, and most of the linebackers from a year ago. So they were there. They were a part of it. All right.
They're part of it. And the coaching staff are part of it. I think it's an advantage for everybody, man. They're taking care of business. They want it. It motivates them through from top to bottom, like from player to coach. This motivates them and want this, and they know that Washington is in their way for a, you know, a dream season right now.
We're going to take a break. I want to come back because I think Utah is the best team in the Pac-12. And I think they're playing like the best team in the Pac-12. And the rankings just haven't caught up with it yet. And I want to talk about that in just a minute.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's old Jason Buck. And, of course, Utah plays Washington this week. And I think this is kind of a bit of a rivalry for Utah. Washington's been a tough team for the Utes to play, and they haven't done well since they've been in the Pac-12 and lost to Washington twice last year. This year's a different year, and Utah's lost one game. And they're playing, definitely as good as anyone in the Pac-12 conference, and probably in the top four or five best teams in the country. I mean, really, they're playing that good.
And, yeah, I agree.
And Oregon is ahead of the polls in Utah. And, of course, Oregon barely eked out a win in the last seconds against Washington State. Were behind by quite a bit against Washington, came back, won that game. And and they're still ahead of Utah in the polls. And I really thought by Utah's performance and how well they played and how well they've played for the last month, I really expected and thought that they would jump Oregon in the polls. And they didn't. What do you think Utah's do you agree with me, or do you think Utah's where it should be?
You know what? I agree. I think it's okay that Utah's where they should be because I think it just helps them, meaning it gives them another chip on their shoulder to have Oregon out there in front of them.
Right.
It's another, you know, thing to motivate them and to keep that chip on their shoulder, keep them hungry and keep them fighting. Cause you know, I think they're in a great position playing out, you know, November here, to move up in the polls and have a great shot at the playoffs.
The only way Utah makes the playoffs, they go undefeated. Oregon goes undefeated. They're both somewhere 5-6 in the country at the end of the month, maybe higher. Yep. I don't know. And the winner has now beaten a top 10 team in the country, has a signature win. And it certainly has some, it has some credence as to, I mean, because let's say Oklahoma wins now in the Big 12 with one loss. And what's their signature win? Texas? Texas is going to be out of the top 25. I mean, Texas right. lost three or four times this year. And their one loss is to, like, Kansas State. And, you know, Utah's would be to USC. You know, and USC is a decent team this year. They're not a great team. So,
right.
so just
earlier in the year, though.
Right. So just that alone, helps. Right. Just that alone, yeah. Where you have, there's no way because there's not, if you're taking just conference championship teams, and Notre Dame lost, so they're out, they're gone. So you're gonna get one team from the Big Ten. You're gonna get one team from the SEC. You're going to get Clemson from the ACC, and then you're going to have that fourth team. Is the fourth team a one-loss or a two-loss SEC team, or is it Utah? I mean, it has to be Utah,
right?
You just can't, you know, you. I just, I'd be hard pressed to not let him in, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. And here's why. So I'm totally in agreement with you, Jason. I'm in a 100% agreement about Utah being in the position they're in. Fine, let Oregon be ahead of them in the polls. But here's why,
face each other.
Here's why I think Oregon's ahead of them in the polls. And it has to do with marquee players. So the marquee player on the West Coast in the Pac-12 conference is Justin Herbert. There isn't another player that has the national presence that he does. I mean, he's talked about on all the Heisman lists. And what really why this really struck me was by the time the Utah's game against Cal ended, nobody on the East Coast saw how great a game it was. No one was watching. And so no one knows how good Utah is. So in the polls, they go, in order to promote college football, we need the biggest names, the biggest programs to be at the front of the class.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It isn't that Oregon's better than Utah. It's that Justin Herbert has a bigger name draw than Tyler Huntley or anyone.
Yeah, the politics of it.
Or
right?
Anyone, I mean, right.
Absolutely, yeah.
So this leads me to one statement. If the NCAA is using a person, Justin Herbert, to promote its brand, why shouldn't Justin Herbert be compensated for that?
Yeah.
A year ago, a similar thing happened, Jason. Utah, they were discussing about a potential participant in the Holiday Bowl. And the discussion from the Holiday Bowl was, we really want Justin Herbert because he's a bigger draw.
Right.
It wasn't that we want Oregon. We want the quarterback. And so it's not only in the polls, but it's also in the bowls.
Yeah.
And these bowl teams go – And so you can't sit here and tell me that all these people are calling this amateur sports.
No, players get the heck used out of them.
They are getting
the school,
used.
The NCAA to make hundreds of millions and, you know, in the billions like the NFL. I mean, it's just there's so much money in it. And they use your likeness and your name to promote the school and the program forever. And especially when you're a major All-American and major award winner and all that, like, you know, like me and Detmer and that type of thing, you're used to promote the program forever and you get zero out of it.
He won a major award. Yes.
Yep. The
no
biggest.
Question. Yeah. Anyways, I find that to be a fascinating thing about the polls. So, all right. Well, this round of rivals is over.
It's over. We're done. We're off to our corners.
He's Jason Buck. I'm Scott Mitchell. We're powered by KSLSports.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Rivals Podcast, Twitter at the Rivals Show. And until then, please, please drive responsibility. No, I'm sorry. Drive responsibility.
Don't be like Scott.
And don't be like Jason.